What is going on, Colts Nation? He is Jamal Lawrence, and I'm Eric Smith, your co-host of the Colts Cast.
Yo, yo.
The AFC South went from one of the least competitive divisions in the NFL to probably one of the most competitive in one season. The rise of the Houston Texans have put some respect on not only the team, but the division. While the Jags remain a formidable force as well, the Titans are still trash now. They're beefing up as well. Matter of fact, all three of those teams have been beefing up this offseason. And that leaves one team odd man out. And that is the Indianapolis Colts. So on paper, they've gotten better. I would say the general public, they're saying the Colts didn't have a strong offseason due to the, some limited outside additions. And I think just two, Joe Flacco and Raekwon Davis. But Jamal, I think we're here to tell Colts Nation there is a light at the end of the tunnel. We're here to tell you the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts can still capture the AFC South. Jamal, how can they do that though? Like, go ahead and talk to them.
It's going to take some work. It's going to take some work, but it's also going to take some work from our listeners first. If you don't mind, go ahead and hit that like and subscribe button for us. Let us know you're here. Drop a comment below if you're first time dropping in. Please let us know if you're a recurring visitor. Drop a comment telling us what you think about this video. As always, we appreciate everybody for coming on out and listening to what we have to say. We're making our way up the boards and getting ready for the season to go. But Eric, to answer your question, how can the Colts become contenders? How can the Colts continue to stay after a lackluster, so to speak, offseason, free agency leading into the draft? Well, I thought about this for a while, man, because So many times, we get so caught up in the limelight of what's most important. Big names, big names, big names. We see everybody going out and spending money. And we're just like, wow, we're going to do the same thing and pay our players who, they've been good for us. They've been solid for us. But sometimes you just have to ask yourself, like, what are we missing something? Is there a bigger picture? What is going on to where Ballard and company have just felt like they don't want to spend dime on anything outside? They rather just keep it all in house, and when I think about this, Eric, I had to stop and think to myself for a minute, am I being realistic about what's going on? Because I think it's a bigger picture, of course, but I think it's more so behind the scenes, in my humble opinion. Where I think it is, Eric, I think it starts with the coaching changes. The coaching changes. So taking aside from what we see on the field every Sunday, whenever the Colts are on the field, sometimes on Thursdays. I know we don't get too many primetime games. So I can't say Monday right now, but hopefully in the future we get some of those Monday games. But on Sunday, what we see is we see these players come out and execute what they do, but we don't see what they do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, leading into all this work. And I think that's where the most important changes come in for us. And I think that's where the Colts have excelled this offseason with some of these coaching changes that we've had come in. Practice is what is most important. We talk about that. We heard Allen Iverson get bigger off of his entire practice. We ain't talking about the game, practice. But practice is where the magic happens. This is where these guys are learning how to get better each and every day. And they have to reciprocate, because you know what they say. If you go out there and you practice 100%, you play 100%. So when they're on the field on Sundays, they're by themselves. It's all on them. But that preparation that goes into the week leading into the game with the coaches, where the players are getting their practice in, I think that's where the Colts are going to excel this season. And we clearly saw a huge acceleration from this past season, from the season before that, of where not a lot of player personnel changes happen, but coaching changes happen, and their roles change. And we saw a bump, an uptick in production. So I think that some of this stuff that Steichen has done this offseason, Steichen and company, I'll give Ballard some credit in there as well, because he had to help hire these coaches. But what Steichen and company have done with the coaching makes a huge difference.
You do love Chris Ballard, so
I got to make sure I always give Chris Ballard his flowers. He's done just such an excellent job over this past 8 years for us. I was chatting because for all the people who leave me comments saying, how can you not like Chris Ballard, so on and so forth. You're right, guys. I just can't sleep well at night if I know that Chris Ballard is not here doing this thing. But this is not a Chris Ballard episode, so we're not going off that tangent, Eric. Don't get me started today. What I am going to do is talk about this guy named Charlie Partridge, D-line coach out of Pitt. And again, I just think it's important to realize what these new coaches that we have are going to be bringing to this, to our team. When he was at Pitt, I think from 2019 to 2022, they averaged 49 sacks per season. 49 sacks a season averaged. Colts had their highest and forever at 51 sacks, I believe, this season. Mm. So we're bringing somebody in who expects this. All Partridge did when he was at Pitt was apply pressure. Last year, Eric, three defensive linemen had at least 30 tackles. That's pressure right there. That's what we need. And that's what's going to elevate this team, because we know playing this zone defense that Gus Bradley has that's not very blitz heavy. We know the focal point is that defensive line. Now we have somebody who can come in here and really take advantage of what we have at that defensive line with Quiddy, with Grover, with Defoe, with Samson. These are names that he can just elevate even a little bit more. And I think that what he'll bring to the table for our squad will help this defensive line uptick a whole lot. We saw with Tony Sperano last year, the offensive line went from lackluster the year before to a huge uptick with just a coaching change. Okay. Mm. We can see the same thing happen to defense side of the ball. Mike Minnis coming over as our director of sports performance. He spent 8 years in Philly. That's someone Shane Sykes can trust. Nutrition is important. Strength and conditioning is important. Colts, these things, guys and gals, these are the important things that we don't see off the field. We know that these people are athletes. Majority of athletes can take care of themselves for what it's worth. But during the offseason where they're not in their routines, this is kind of where it gets hairy. This is why they have weigh-ins. This is why they have penalties for not being in your correct weights and so on and so forth. We have someone like Mike Minnis who can come in as a nutritionist, as a strength and conditioning coach. He can just help elevate our players and make sure they're at their peak performance all season. And hopefully, also taper back on some of these injuries that we have because of improper practice. And, you know, obviously freak injuries happens. We can't do anything about that. But improper practice, improper nutrition, some of these things, someone like him can come in and do. And last one I'll just talk about is Alex Taney. You know, he's coming in for the passing game coordinator. More development for AR. We already have Cooter in there who's helping out. Alex Taney was in Philly. He helped with Jalen Hurts. And I know that we've talked about some of these coaches before, but I really think that without having these, some of these big names that we wanted to have, the Sneeds and all these guys on the team, when you think about the personnel that's behind the scenes, who's doing the dirty work behind the scenes, it legit leaves nothing but the players to go out there on Sunday and absolutely execute what's going on. We have given you every single tool you need now to go out there, and you have one job on Sunday, and that's to show the world that everything you've done for the past 6 days has now put you in a position to be the best you can be. So that's why I think my biggest take is for this offseason for us is really the coaching and what to expect from that.
Yeah, I think that's a good point to bring up. I know a lot of fans, and you know, just being a casual fan, you don't realize how impactful these coaching changes can be. So it's good to highlight that. Man, I remember the Legarius Sneed like 2 week episode we had trying to bag him up, and well, you know, we had some non-credible reports coming out saying we did have him. So yeah, that was a roller coaster of a ride. Mm-hmm. But that's good to highlight, Jamal. I think we have to just go back in the history books and look where were we at like 2 years ago, and where we were at a year ago, and where we're at now. Because I think a lot of people forgot that we bounced back from a 4-win season to last season with 9 wins. That's more than doubling our wins from the year before, with a rookie quarterback who went down with a season-ending injury, replaced by Gardner Minshew for most of the season under center. First-year head coach, no Jonathan Taylor for a third of the season, lost Isaiah Rodgers, Grover Stewart was suspended, no Jelani Woods. A multitude of injuries, season-ending injuries. Do y'all remember who just didn't even get to see the light of day in the regular season, the preseason, anything? I could keep going. But with all of that, we were one play away. We were one play away from the playoffs, essentially. And that was the final play being drawn up for Gardner Minshew to Tyler Goodson on a 4th-and-1, which I'm not going to come at Shane Steichen for that, because really that it just wasn't executed. Schemed them open. They were fine. Just mm-hmm. didn't execute. So really you look at this Colts very unseasoned offseason, and I kind of get Ballard's approach. You know, when we calm down, when we look at it holistically, you're like, all right, re-sign the players that got you to that point to double your wins. Insert Anthony Richardson back into the mix. Build chemistry. Add impact players in the draft, and you can easily visualize this team. This team's trajectory is on the rise. That's how I look at it. And, you know, you talk about the coaching changes, Jamal. Let's talk about the big man himself, Shane Steichen. I mean, this offense has completely transformed under him. Mm-hmm. Offense is the name of the game now in the NFL, and it was different last season compared to Frank Wright's last season. RPO game was there, run pass option. Utilized it with Richardson and Minshew. We had those QB design runs. We love to see those. We, you know, in hindsight, we're probably like, probably should have used less of those, but they were effective when they were used. Mesh concepts, you know, to get these players open in space, letting Josh Downs get working, letting Michael Pittman get working, running the damn ball. I remember that Steelers game where it was the entire quarter. We just ran the ball. Run to win, right?
That's right.
And I just feel like Shane Steichen's bag is so deep. And he only got the scratch of the surface with this talented Anthony Richardson, this guy we got in the fourth overall pick. You know, I think he's a top 10 play caller just from what he did with what he was given. And like I said, just scratch the surface, it can get better. He's probably, oh man. It's going to be great next season. And, you know, you just have to just think about it. We've talked about this before. The decision defenders have to make with either keeping their hips squared with Jonathan Taylor or they got to turn to Anthony Richardson has to be one of the most stressful things to think about. I mean, he could even dump it off on like a bubble screen. It's scary. And I think this offense can be lethal. We just got to be healthy.
Yes.
You know, if Richardson gets the right read, it's a first down. It could be a home run play. I really think the Colts, you know, when we just sit down and look at it, I think they're fine. You know, the Titans had to do a lot of patching up. I don't think they're a great team. The Texans wanted to do a lot because they're in win now mode. The Jags, they're so inconsistent, they had to make changes. Colts, I feel like we overachieved with minimal amount of talent last season. I don't know. That's just me. I feel like, you know, minus some holes on depth, we're pretty good at the top of it. You know, our offensive line when healthy is top five in the game. Jonathan Taylor is a top five running back. DeForest Buckner is the top five defensive line. I mean, Kenny Moore had one of his best seasons. Julian Blackman when healthy was crazy. I think the biggest issue might be depth, but when you look at it, the Indianapolis Colts, again, we said this last season, they're going to shock the NFL. But it was just so many things happened. The dominoes fell, and it derailed our season, essentially. So I don't know, man. I really think we have a really good chance of taking the AFC South title.
Yeah, and I fully agree with everything you said. A great breakdown on that too, because like kind of how you mentioned, with all the injuries we have going on, especially on the defense side of the ball for sure, but even on the offense side of the ball, I mentioned them because this is going to be for the first time in a very long time we're going to see everyone on the offense side of the ball happy and healthy. Happy, paydays are there. Healthy, injuries are taken care of. Everybody's good. We didn't even get a chance to see. Because of injury, of course, like you talked about earlier, that combination, that threat of JT and AR together during Richardson's first or those four starts, we were ninth in explosive runs and 10th in explosive passes. Now, just to understand what happened with that, of course, when we had so many other injuries going on, and of course, the backup quarterback, we finished the season 26th in explosive pass rate and 16th in explosive run rate. So we can see a tick down in that. And I want to give those numbers because just to show you, and I know that Richardson's sample size is obviously a lot smaller because he wasn't in for every single play of every single game. But the point is when we had someone back there who could, at the drop of a dime, decide he wants to run the ball now because there are no open throws he wants to see. He's going through all his progressions. They're not there. He has the ability to do that. That's something we didn't see or even in the passing game, we didn't see as many explosive passes because we were trying to do so many checkdowns this entire time. So when we're going to have a happy, healthy offense out there, it's going to be a completely different ballgame. And we know that the NFL right now is a score-heavy league. You have to score to win. That's the reality of the game. Defense is going to let up points. Our defense, we were negative when it came to points for versus points against. Defense is going to continue to let up points. That's just a reality of life. The offense is going to have to go out there and score all the time. You have to play with the killer's instinct, a killer mentality, and that's what's going to have to happen from play one. Play one, we have to see it. And I really think with a happy, healthy offense, this is what we're going to see. And again, like you mentioned, Steichen is going to just creep open that bag a little more week over week, yep, over week over week. And it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly on the offensive side of the ball for a lot of teams. So you better watch out when it comes to that.
Yeah. Remember that the Houston Texans game week two where we put up like – I felt like we put up 28 points in like one quarter.
Yeah, it was nothing.
it was just like that. But, I mean, that was week two. But I can say, and this is the last thing I'll say, I kind of talked about that depth issue. One thing I don't know what the Colts are going to do is what they're going to do with that number 15 pick. And I've seen a lot of mocks actually mock us at like an edge rusher or defensive tackle. And people think that's crazy. But then, you know, I just talk about our depth issue. You know, DeForest Buckner, Grover Stewart, they're not going to be there forever. Kwity Paye, not sure if, you know, we want to keep him. It's like, you know, I could see Ballard doing something like that, especially with the trade back scenario, taking a solid edge rusher. Like, I don't know if I'd be mad that we took Jared Verse. It just depends on who's available. Or like Brian Murphy. It just kind of depends. But I kind of trust in them to draft someone solid that can make an impact in Richardson's second year and Shane Steichen's second year. I mean, this is the season where we should be able to get 10 wins. Now, I will say the schedule gets a little tougher. Mm-hmm. Got to play the AFC East, NFC North. It's not going to be a cakewalk like last season with our strength of schedule. Yeah. But you know, all opponents we can beat, we've beaten them down before. We can do it again.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't have anything else to add to that, dog.
Yeah, let's get these wins, Colts Nation. Let us know what you think about the Colts' trajectory this season. Are we gonna? We're gonna end up fourth, third, second. We get in this title. We're getting Chris Ballard's first AFC South title
for all this time.
Yeah, we'll see. But let us know in the comments. That's gonna be it for us, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Colts Cast. We are live on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or any platform you use to listen to podcasts. We'll be back next time to give you some more Indianapolis Colts content. Later.
Later.